So step one, take possession of the gateways and place Christ at the center of it. Literally, Jesus, you are Lord of this gate. You are Lord of the gate of my imagination, or the gate of my revelation or intuition if you're dealing with your spirit gates. Yield the soul's gateways to the spirit and allow the life and glory of God to flow through them so that they determine what I do. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. We want a relationship where revelation flows, where the prayer flows, where reverence flows, where intuition flows in our everyday life, in which God just reveals himself and what he's doing to us. But we need to clean the gateways. If they've been polluted by sin, we need to cleanse them with the blood of Jesus. We may have seen all sorts of negative images in our lives through films, or, you know, you may have seen pornographic things if you're guys, or, I don't know, ladies maybe. But some of those things, the enemy, as soon as you get into intimacy, the enemy can bring up an image in your mind, and all of a sudden it's like, ugh, and you're stopped, it's dead in the water. Because it's like all of a sudden you've got this reminder of something you've seen. So we need to actually deal with the things that we've done. And there may have been things that we, as of what we said, things that are happened to us that hinder these things. So we can apply the blood of Jesus, particularly to our imagination. And I'll explain more how to do that. You know, if we have things there which are blockages, we need to repent for allowing anything to take access. Particularly if we've sinned and we've continually sinned, or our parents have sinned, because the sins of fathers can be visited to the third and fourth generation. So we have to deal with some of this stuff. You know, take the blood of Jesus by faith and just cleanse the gate. It's almost like, right, I'm cleansing this gate of my imagination from everything that's hindered it, so that I can flow in imagination. So revelation can give me visions, pictures and dreams. And I know people are seeing visions and pictures and dreams. You just want them to be as sharp as you can possibly get them, and not blurred by a dirty screen. You like, you know, if your screen of your imagination is all mucky, what you see on it, you may see something, but it will be sort of out of focus, if you like. An example prayer for like our conscience gateway. It's like, today I bring my conscience into submission to my spirit. I release the life of God to flow from my spirit through the gateways of reverence and worship and the gateway of the fear of God, to a conscience of God's righteousness and truth. Where my soul has been seared by sin, I now take the sword of the Spirit and cleave the gateway open to allow the flow of God through it, to dictate my actions. Father, make me aware of my actions so I may submit to your authority in my spirit. And it's like, we need to be focused. And I know there's a lot of gates, and this will take a bit of time. But in the end, the more time you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. You know, because, you know, you think, well, why aren't I doing what Jesus is doing? Well, because I'm not flowing in the relationship with God that Jesus was, because I've got stuff in the way. Because I've lived a life of all sorts of stuff. You know, stuff has happened to me. I've done things. We all got past, which is covered by the blood of Jesus from an eternal perspective, but our soul still needs to be cleansed from it and dealt with the effects of it. Hence, inner healing, where, you know, we've been hurt and damaged by somebody. We close down that area in our life and protect ourselves. Well, when God wants to use that area, if we're protecting it, it will be really difficult to use it. So we have to deal with what happened, forgive and release the person, be restored and made whole. Because then it will flow. Things will start to flow. So another prayer is like, today in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spiritual force or condition that's resistant to the flow of God in me. I loose it, cast it out of this gateway in Jesus' name, and I make a place where Jesus is Lord over this gateway. So if you know things are in the way and you're struggling, take authority. You have authority in your own life. You know, and it's like, maybe you need to get someone to come alongside you. So right, in a prayer of agreement, we're praying that whatever's blocking this gate is going to be removed. You know, but it's a process of just opening these things up. So then we can pray. Father, I thank you that my conscience gateway is full of your glory. Thank you that my conscience receives and releases a flow of godliness and holiness through it in Jesus' name. My conscience dictates my body's actions in the world, because it's been fed and flowing with the life of the Spirit flowing through it. We have to maintain that in a persistent way to open it up. Now, you know, I've done this a lot, so now I'm really familiar with this. So I sense if there's anything that's in the way, because I've opened everything up. I've opened all the gateways. You know, I went back through every year of my life and dealt with every gateway and everything I'd ever done, seen, said, heard, damaged my emotions, mind, conscience, and everything else. Yeah, it took me a few weeks or months. Well, I did it in 40 days, so it's like I hammered it. But literally, I am now sensitive to things that are in the way. So if I've done something wrong, my conscience will really be sharp. Now, hopefully, your conscience can be sharp enough to stop you doing things that are wrong. But when you have said something, or you got angry, or you got a bad attitude, or whatever, your conscience will be making you aware. Not to make you feel guilty, just to say, you want to make sure your gate is open. Don't let anything block it. Make sure you're sensitive. So if you're like, oh, I really want to hear God, and I'm really struggling to hear him, and I was hearing him last week, well, okay, well, why am I not hearing him now? God hasn't changed, or is there anything that's got in the way? And we can be really sensitive to ourselves. You know, we need to know ourselves and be aware of the things that are in the way. You know, sometimes when we're feeling grumpy, it's like, well, why? You know, it's like, you know, and I ask, now I'm used to say, okay, God, I find it really easy to think, actually, I'm feeling really grumpy today. What's going wrong? What didn't I deal with? You know, and we can be really sensitive and ask the Holy Spirit to give us revelation to help us to discern what's going on in our life. Because the enemy will always try and sow stuff into us, try and get us to do stuff which will be a blockage. And we need to be open to actually maintain a flow of revelation and ask God to do it. I know it sounds all a bit sort of like, oh, isn't it really hard? Well, it needs discipline. And it does need focus. And if you really want a flow, you've got to open the gates. You know, if you really want to understand what revelation is, you need to see revelation start to flow. And it's like, it isn't going to happen by chance. You know, we have to be deliberate. If we want the fullness of our relationship with God like Jesus did, we need to develop it. And that means we need to work on it. Like our imagination gateway. You know, a key area, because it feeds and stores everything we see, do, feel and hear. Everything goes through that imagination. And next time, I will show you how the mind works and how things get stored and how we can actually deal with and remove the things that get stored, or help the things to get stored, or the things we want to be stored there. We want the good stuff there and we want the bad stuff out. So we want the truth in and the lies out. You know, but a lot of time there's a whole load of lies in there that we've got to get rid of. And then replace it with the truth. Once our imagination is clean, then it's much easier to see. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So literally, we want to go around our lives with all our thought life being completely in line with God and God's word. So that we're instantly aware, that wasn't the right thought. And all the good thoughts that we're receiving, we know that they're God. And that's what can happen, because we can become really sensitive. So we deal with the images of our past. We need to acknowledge them. You can't go through this process and hope to hide anything from God, or you're from yourself, or from others. It's like we've got to become open and transparent and honest with ourselves particularly. And when God starts to point out sins or patterns of sins or bad attitudes or things that you didn't really aware of, you don't need to be defensive, because God isn't doing it to say, well, you rotten, horrible people. He's actually doing it to say, we can get rid of this stuff. This is just a hindrance. Let's get rid of it. Let's work together on it and get rid of it. So God's desire is that we're really open. And there, you know, when I went through this process, I asked God to show me in each year of my life if there was any sin that I'd committed that had seared my conscience. There was any images from whatever source that had polluted my imagination. There's any words I'd spoken or lies I'd heard or mindsets that I'd adopted that were in my subconscious, which were directing how I thought or acted. Had I committed any sin which had damaged my emotions or anybody else's? So that on my will, have I been stubborn and resistant to God? Therefore, I need to repent and become soft towards God, so that I could be persevering and strong in the spirit. I went through it all. you know, and yeah, it was hard work, you know, and I was exhausted after doing 2 or 3 years at a time. I used to do 5 years in a block, and go through all that time, you know, and then I went back to start to do it each month of the year, and I sort of ran out of steam after 10 years. It was really hard work. But, you know, I felt actually I'm okay. If I need to go deeper, then God will show me. You know, it depends really what you're called to do and where you are. And for me, it was almost like, if you're going to teach this, you have to experience it and know what you're doing. So I was doing it from a point of view, actually, I need experience to be able to help other people do it. You know, but it is something we can all do if we're focused. You know, we can own the sin or the picture, bring it into the light and use like the blood of Jesus. If it's an image, I had the picture and Ian Clayton helped with this. He basically said, well, you see the image, get the blood of Jesus and paint it out like a paintbrush so that it's gone. And literally, I can no longer remember the things that I've seen. It was just gone. The images aren't there in my memory anymore. The enemy can't bring them up because they're not there. They're obliterated as if they were never there. And we can have that in all these areas of our lives if we apply the truth. Yeah, if I do, yeah. I mean, if I'm sort of, I tend to be sort of, you know, yeah, I would just basically go like that. In my mind's eye, I can see myself doing it, but literally, quite often, I'll wave my arm up and down. No, it doesn't. No, you're doing it by faith, and in that sense, and sometimes you can see it. If I'm seeing the image in my mind, because sometimes God brought the images back, I saw them, and literally, what I was doing spiritually was that, okay, I'm covering this with the blood of Jesus. But it just helped to have a visual thing of actually it's being painted out going, so I can't see it anymore. And literally it was covered and gone. So that really worked. So like our mind gateway, our mind, really our subconscious mind is what the Bible describes as our heart. And the Bible describes that in the parable of the sower is our heart can have stones and weeds and it can be hard. The soil can be hard, so it won't receive good seed. Or it's full of weeds, so any good seed gets choked out, or full of stones that doesn't have any roots. So those are things like the way we think in our subconscious, which then comes into our conscious mind when it's triggered. So you see somebody that hurt you, and your emotions will start to churn if you haven't forgiven them properly. Because something gets you, and it's triggered, and the memory comes back of what they did or said, and you start to feel angry, or bitter or resentful. And literally, those things can be stored in our heart that then are triggered and come into our conscious mind. We don't go around all the time thinking those things. All of a sudden, something happens. And it can be even a smell. You can smell something which reminds you of a past event, and all the memories will flood back. What nostalgia is about, isn't it? It's like you trade a song. That song when we were all in love and all that sort of stuff. That's what they trade on, isn't it? Bringing memories back. Triggering things. Well, good if you get good memories back. But actually, if you've got bad ones, you don't want them. So we need to get rid of them. So an example prayer for these sort of strongholds or mindsets or beliefs. It's like, Father, I release the glory of the kingdom of heaven into my unconscious, subconscious, conscious mind, into my memories to purge them and clean them so that I may receive supernatural revelation from your word to change my life. I release the life of God through this gateway of revelation in my spirit like a river to flush and wash and restore my mind so that I will have the mind of Christ, that the actions of my body reflect the kingdom of God and its outworking in my actions and those around me. Now you can develop your own prayers, make them personal, find your own way of opening the gates, but you've got to do it specifically. Once they're open, you just keep them open then, but to get them open, you've got to do some work. So I see literally the mind and each area, there's a whole load of stuff stored there, like in my subconscious mind. And all the good stuff I want to be able to connect to and live from, all the bad stuff I want to get rid of so I can get more good stuff in there. So I have to focus in, again, using the blood of Jesus to deal with mindset. I need to maybe to repent, renounce the things that I've said and done myself, words I've heard, mindsets, ideas, fear, things that have adopted in my mind. Body gateways, well, we know what they are. So in the terms of eye gateway, it's like Father, today in the name of Jesus, I release the flow of glory through the gateway of first love, gateway of revelation, into the gateway of my imagination, and out through the gateway of my eyes. So I can see into the kingdom of heaven with a renewed spiritual sight. May my eyes become like flames of fire to the demonic world as I reflect the glory of God from the inside. Literally, the description in Revelation chapter 1 of someone who was like the Son of God, didn't say it was the Son of God, had flame in fire in their eyes. The demonic people, people who operate in the occult, can see how strong Christians are by the light that's coming from them. And they won't touch anybody who's shining with glory, because they know they're in trouble. But people who go around with a little flame and flicker, and literally people, occult people have said this is how they see Christians, they see how much light they're shining. And if you've got a little flicker going, they'll think you're open season. But no problem. We'll curse them. And literally, you could be walking down a street and an occult person could curse you. Now, the Word of God says a curse without a cause can to light. But if we've got a whole load of causes in us that curses can alight on, this is why we've got to be sensitive to know, well, what's different? Why do I feel a bit off today? Has anything been said over me? And we need to be sensitive because God will show us. Revelation can reveal someone. You were walking down the street, someone cursed you yesterday and you weren't aware of it. Break the curse. Send it back to them. Multiplied 7 times. You know, it is spiritual warfare we're in. You know, it's like there are witches and covens that are praying against Christian families and marriages and all sorts of stuff, and church leaders. That's what they do. Now, we need to know that we're protected by the 3 layers of armor that we have. The armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the armor of God. And there are 3 levels of armor that we can wear to make sure that the enemy's got nothing in us. But we need to be sensitive to know and to see. You know, I want to walk down the street and I want to see what's on people. I want to see those people who are warm to the gospel, open to the gospel. And literally, that's the sort of stuff. Because Jesus saw faith on people. He saw those people who were open. He's talked about Nathaniel, that he saw him. And he saw his heart. He saw the Pharisees' hearts, how they were reasoning in their hearts against him. All this stuff is the spiritual dynamic of literally having this relationship with God where revelation flows and flows to us. Comes, the thoughts come into our mind. Pictures come into our imagination. We get gut feelings. We get moved by compassion or anger. Because anger is not wrong. It's only wrong if it's not dealt with. Jesus was angry, but he slowly made a whip and then drove them all out of the temple. You know, he didn't do it in anger, but he was moved because they were making the Father's house, which should have been a house of prayer, a den of thieves. So he slowly and then got rid of them, turned the money changers' tables over. Because you know, he was moved with righteous anger. And we can be moved with anger to do something about it. I get angry when I see people in bondage, see the enemy messing their lives up. And it's like, right, let's get rid of that thing. Let's cast it out. Let's deal with it. You know, we can be moved by those things, but we need to start seeing. So if you can see, we need revelation to flow so that our natural eyes can start seeing in the realm of the kingdom. So this is how we open those gates. We need to learn to see that everything flows from the inside out. We see, we hear, we feel from the inside out. So we've got that revelation from God that flows out around us and lives around us. Okay? So the body really is a slave and servant of the soul. The soul is a slave and servant of the spirit. And the spirit is the slave and servant of Jesus, who is at the center of our being. You know, we surrender ourselves to him every day. Okay? Does that sort of make sense?
Yes.
Okay, how to keep the gates flowing? Keep short accounts. Don't wait until you get that night to confess your sin, because you've wasted a day when the enemy's had access to do stuff. Confess as soon as you realize you've done something. Because all you have to do is say, God, I confess, I'm sorry, forgive me. Bang, it's done. He's forgot it. You forget it too. Don't hold it against you and don't let the enemy lie to you. You're forgiven, it's washed, gone, completely never to be remembered again by God. Don't drag up things that he's forgotten. Repent is just turning. So as soon as we realize, hey, there's a pattern developing here, I seem to have done that 3 or 4 days in a row, actually then it's time to say, okay, I need to repent. I need to turn. That wasn't just an accident or a mistake or I slipped up. Actually, this is a pattern of behavior. We can recognize patterns of behavior, repent from them, and deal with them. Move on. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit through conviction, sensitive to warnings and intuitions that he might be giving. And this obviously grows. Spend as much time praying in tongues as you possibly can, because that will keep the flow going. When you're praying in tongues, it's really difficult to sin. It really is, because you're protected. You know, God is actually, you're talking to God, and God is speaking and praying through you. So pray in tongues as much as you possibly can. Okay, here's a summary of it. Lay hold of the gates by faith as your inheritance, so that you exercise my God-given right to exercise dominion and authority in the gates of my life. All those gates have belonged to me. So I have authority over them, and I surrender that authority to God. Cast out any spirit that exercises authority in those gates. Jesus is Lord of the gates, only as he's given the right to flow through them. In the Spirit, by faith, raise a banner of victory over each gate as a declaration that Jesus is there. He's in control. Begin to enforce the kingdom. No, the kingdom of God is taken by force. It's like we have to force the enemy out. We have to take ground. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they didn't just run away. First of all, they were behind a massive great stronghold of a place called Jericho that you could race chariots on the top of the walls. So that it's a picture of strongholds in our lives. They went into the promised land, and immediately there's a stronghold. What are they going to do? Give up? No, ask God, march around it, blow a trumpet, it comes down. It wasn't difficult. They just needed to do what God said. And I bet by the time they'd marched around it 13 times, every one of them had given up the thought it was coming down by their own strength. Yeah, and we've got to get to that point as well. We aren't going to bring things down in our own strength. We do them in the power of the Spirit. Okay? But we need to deliberately take authority and to deal with it. Okay. I think we'll finish that there, and we'll just again just spend a few minutes just getting into that place where we can meditate on the Word of God, because we've got to practice. It's like practice speaking in tongues. Practice speaking in tongues on the inside. Practice speaking in tongues on the outside. Practice. You know, so for a couple of minutes, just get yourself prepared. You know, we need to learn how to soak and how to meditate on the Word of God. And we'll be looking at this at different sessions. How do we meditate? How do we just soak in the presence of God? How do we still our mind? And how do we actually do it? So I'm going to encourage you to just right now, just calm your spirit and just start praying in tongues gently to yourself just for a few minutes and just relax. You know, get the blood pumping to the right side of your brain. Okay? And you can all do it. It just takes practice. Okay? So I just encourage you, just spend a couple of minutes just doing that, and then we'll move on. You can do it out loud, or you can do it on the inside and then mix it around. That's enough. I want to, again, help you to engage opening that gate in your spirit garden. And just want you to imagine again, you can see the door. Jesus is knocking and you want to let him in. And try and just visualize that. Try and imagine that. Let your spirit start to flow around that thought. I want to play the same piece of music I played last week about the garden. You can just sit and listen to it. You can look at the images on the screen if it helps. But just start to engage that you are an habitation of God and you're meeting.
Enclosed, a locked garden. fountain sealed. I am your resting place. I am your resting place. Here, O Lord, have I prepared a place for you to dwell. Here in the reservoir of me. That you would dwell in my heart, that I would be in you and you would be in me, that I could fellowship with God here where it's you and me alone. The very glory of God on the inside of me, I want to fellowship with you. Here it's you and me alone, God. You and me alone. Here it's you and me alone, God. You and me alone. I am your resting place.
Thank you.
Okay. Some of you may find that easier than others. We have to learn how to sit and soak. We have to learn how to focus our mind on Jesus and on where we want to be and where we want to go. And don't let the distractions come in. But it takes time to do it. You have to learn how to do it. And as part of just practicing and having some exercises around it. Do any of you sort of have any heavenly encounters, visions, go anywhere? I certainly did. Although our job getting up, didn't want to come away from the places where I was. I went to the Tree of Life and was given a fruit to eat. And flew quite a lot. Flying's great in heaven. Lots of images of things that God was wanting me to do. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of just starting to tune in to those places. If you think, oh, I just can't see anything yet. Okay, just start building up your spirit. Start with the small things. You know, but as that becomes, you get more and more. You know, once you have an experience, you can use that to be the starting point for your next experience. Don't forget the experience. If you had an encounter tonight, go and write it down. Go and journal it. Write it down. And then go back and read over what you've written. And then when you come back again, you can start from the same place. You can go back because that word then becomes an anchor for the next experience. It's a doorway then into something of that realm. But don't be despondent if you're sort of, well, I'm struggling a little bit. It takes time, you know, and the more you clean the gates and the more you open up the spirit, in the sense of particularly getting those revelatory and your imagination and stuff operating, the easier it will become.